Good day, everyone. Welcome to the CSU Relentless Gardener podcast. I am Colorado State University horticulture specialist Linda Langelo, and joining me today is Colorado Master Gardener Lois Margolin of Denver County since 2011. Now let's get to the heart of it, where we explore the horticultural topic of gardening with children and grandchildren. Hello, Lois. Good morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for inviting me.
Oh, pleasure to have you. So how would a grandparent or parent even begin to get started with their children?
Well, first of all, I think you need to investigate the interest of the child. Do they want to garden with you? Do they want to grow flowers? Would they rather grow vegetables? What would they like to grow? What do they like to eat? If they don't like broccoli, don't grow broccoli. How much time do they have? Are they more interested in insects than they are in gardening? Because gardening involves insects. So you have to assess their interest level.
Right, right. How young would you say, from your experience, that you could start a child in vegetable gardening?
Oh, you can probably start them as soon as they can walk. You've got to be very aware of what they're able to do. Obviously, a two-year-old child can dig a hole, can mess up the whole garden, but you engage them at their level. By the time they're preschool, maybe 4 or 5 years old, they can plant a container or a very small area and care for it. And then obviously, as they get older, you expand the garden and you can do more difficult things.
Would you try at age 4 and 5 to give them small tasks, just one small task that they would come out and do in the garden on a regular basis?
Absolutely. They can certainly help you put soil into a container, or they can help you rake the leaves out of a small garden plot. I always say start small, even with older people. I remember when my kids were little and we built a new home, I had a garden 140 feet by 40 feet.
Oh, my.
I'd be in there and work it. Well, it exhausted me, let alone them. And for years, they had no interest in gardening. They're all now really good gardeners now. You can have them dig a hole for the plant or the seed. You can have them put in a couple of the seeds. They can water occasionally. Again, it depends on their ability and their interest.
Right, right. Kind of goes along with how to keep them engaged, right?
Yes. And I would make a chart. You know, sit down with them and make a chart. Okay, we're going to prepare the container or the plot of land. We're going to then prepare the soil. You know, then we're going to plant the seeds or transplant little plants that we buy at the nursery. They have to be watered. If it's in a container, you really don't need to worry about weeds. And I would suggest starting in a container. If you give a child a 12-inch, 14-inch container, they can grow one thing and they can really, even at the age of 5, be pretty responsible for the whole thing. If it's a 2 by 2 foot area of land in the ground, it becomes a little more difficult. They lose interest. Again, you have to gauge their ability. Now, there's more to gardening than planting. You have to weed. You have to watch for insects. And they can go out with a magnifying glass when they're 3, 4, 5 years old and look at the plant. Oh, I see something on the plant. The watering schedule is important. And then time to harvest. And they love to harvest. So you teach them the proper way to harvest. But don't stop there. Then you can cook the vegetable. You can arrange the flower. You can enjoy it. Like if you grow zucchini, which is so easy to grow, and you can grow one hill of zucchini in maybe a 20-inch pot, harvest the zucchini and make zucchini bread with them. If you're growing herbs, and they love to eat herbs off the, you know, right off the plant. I introduced my grandchildren to gardening by having them taste mint. And you can dry that. You can wash it off and then put it out on pans and dry it. And then grind it up and make little gifts for Christmas. So you have to find out what they would like to do, keep them involved the whole time. And one thing that I think always works well with them is photograph the whole process and have them make a scrapbook of what they've done.
That's a really great idea. I don't think most people would think about doing that. You know, we have our little digital cameras and everything, and it's so easy to do. As they get older, you can show them and share that with them.
And you can even take videos of them doing the work. And then you show it during the winter, and it motivates them to start planning for the next summer.
Wow, that's cool. So what kind of materials would a parent or grandparent need to get started with gardening? Would they need some special tools for young children?
It makes it more fun. So what I like to do is take the child to a garden center or surprise them with a package of small gloves that fit a little child, maybe a little trowel. They make little small rakes for kids. Get a couple of things. You don't need to go overboard. Really, a trowel and gloves is probably all you need. Have them help you pick out the container if you're going to do the container gardening. In a 12-inch container, you can do an herb. So you can plant mint, or you can plant basil, or you can plant from seed parsley. Parsley really does well from seed. The basil and the mint, I would probably buy little plants for them because it takes so long for those to germinate. A 16-inch container would hold one tomato plant or a pepper plant or several edible pea pod seeds. And pea pods do really well from seed. And the kids get a big kick out of eating the whole pod. A larger container, like a whiskey barrel, you can put 6 to 8 strawberry plants. And if you get the ever-bearing strawberry plants, they can pick strawberries for breakfast, every few days. Zucchinis, you can probably do 2 hills of zucchinis in a whiskey barrel. Cucumbers do really well from seed. You could probably put 2 little hills of cucumbers, and certainly flowers would do well in any of those. You can also, like in a 12-inch or larger container, you can mix your flowers and put a tall one in the middle, put shorter ones around the side, and maybe a trailing plant like potato vines along the edges. And you can mix in vegetables with that and herbs. So you could do a big flower in the middle, like a can of lily, and then you could put 2 different colors of basil as the filler around that big plant, and then trailing plants of any sort that would fall over the side. That would be pretty. The other thing that I think is fun with little kids, like probably through third or fourth grade, preschool through fourth grade, is make a fairy garden. And they love those. You can do that in 12-inch saucer container, that has sides, and you can plant some small herbs in there. You can buy little tiny house plants to put in there. And then if they have a birthday in summer, you can give them a little bridge or a fairy or a little tiny house. Again, the greenhouses have just wonderful displays of fairy gardens. And the kids love that. And I find that sometimes they'll water those and take care of those more so than they will bigger projects.
Well, they could put the fairy garden in the summer in the garden.
Yes, they could put it in the garden. If you do it in a container, like a saucer container, you can bring it in for the winter and then put it out the next year. If you're conscientious, if you have good light in your home and you keep it well watered, they'll overwinter very nicely.
Right. And that keeps them encouraged all year long.
Because you can add, every time they do something special, you can give them 10, 15, 20 cents, so they can save up their money so that they can go out and buy a $2 little fairy. There are all sorts of darling things you can buy to put in the fairy gardens.
I'll bet. That gives some sort of
project.
Yeah, that gives some responsibility, though, if you think about it. If they have that and they manage it inside and they manage it outside, and then they're rewarded for being responsible, by right. giving them 15, 20 cents or whatever. So that's a really good idea.
One of my favorite planting pots, containers, is a wheelbarrow. And you can do a whole salad garden in a wheelbarrow. And they don't have to bend over very far. If they're real little, they may have to stand on a step stool to reach the wheelbarrow. But you can put in a row of lettuce. You can put in a row of carrots. You can put in some edible pea pods. And, you know, you harvest those and you have a salad. Go in and make a salad. And they're so proud of what they grew.
And I'm assuming you're drilling holes in the bottom of them.
Absolutely. Any container that you use must have drainage holes.
Okay.
And, you know, years ago, we used to say, put rocks in the bottom. That's not necessary anymore. So what I recommend is that you drill the holes in the bottom, if they're not pre-drilled, and then put down a coffee filter over the hole. And that prevents the soil from running out. The one thing that the adults should remember with container gardening is that you do have to use a very mild solution of fertilizer, maybe once a month, because the nutrients leak out of the bottom of the container. So you'll get better green growth if you fertilize occasionally.
So like,
and I do like strength of whatever the fertilizer is. I just make a big watering can of half strength fertilizer.
Okay, half strength, right. Yeah, that's what I was going to recommend. Okay, yeah.
If you're growing just herbs, you need to be careful that you don't over-fertilize, because then the herbs will not taste as strong.
Very true, very true. Good advice, good advice. What about watching for insects as they move in? Can you teach your child what needs to be done?
The nice thing about container gardening is you get very few insects compared to gardening in the ground. Like, I have never had a tomato hornworm on my tomatoes in containers. If you are doing a very small area in the ground, and if you have a big garden, you can rope off a little area for your children's garden. If you see a tomato worm, you can show them how to put on their gloves and pick it off. It's best to use a good spray of water or to remove the insect rather than pesticides, especially when working with young children. You don't want to put pesticides all over the place.
Right.
And if you are going to use a pesticide, absolutely read the label. Make sure it's safe if you're growing things to eat.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thinking about the different ages, you know, like 2 years old, 3 years old, 4 years old, I would think that the amount of time that a two-year-old could spend in the garden without being overly saturated would be shorter than
yes.
if it was 5 or 6 years old. So in your experience, do you have any idea, you know, sort of off the top of your head, what kind of time constraint that you would recommend?
Well, I think with any age child, you can wear them out and turn them away from gardening if you expect too much. You have to remember, they're not you. This is not their main project. With the younger ones, especially if you're a grandparent, maybe schedule one day a week where they come over to visit you and spend 15 minutes in the garden, 10 minutes. Again, it depends on the age. If it's a preschooler, 5 minutes might be the most you can expect. If it's a grade school child, they could probably give you 15 to 20 minutes, maybe a half hour with a little break. If it's a teenager and they really want to garden, turn it over to them. Let them do what they want with it. Again, as a mother or a grandmother, I know the limits of my children and grandchildren. And you just have to use common sense and remember, this is not their main project.
Right, right. Well, good advice, good advice. So as we go to harvest time, how would you, as a parent or grandparent, take your child through that? Give me an example.
Okay, I'm assuming that the adults who are going to do this are gardeners, and you will know when it's time to harvest, and you teach your children. You look at the tomatoes once they start fruiting and you say, oh, look at that cute little green tomato. That's not going to taste very good. Let's wait till it gets really bright red or a good solid yellow if you're growing that variety. And you look at it maybe once a week until it gets towards maturity, and then you watch it daily. And you may have to protect it from the squirrels. They love to take one bite out of a tomato and leave the rest. That drives me nuts. So you teach a child, we may have to protect those. We may have to put some fruit tree netting over them, but we have to wait till they're ripe. The same with strawberries. We're not going to pick those little yellow ones. They're not tasty. We're going to wait till they're bright red. And that gives the child something to anticipate. You can teach them with zucchini. We're not going to pick them when they're 1 inch or 2 inches long. But boy, when they get to 4 or 5 inches or 8 inches, we better get it. Because if not, and you can let one go and show them, you can end up with a giant zucchini. But gee, that's kind of fun, because let's make zucchini bread out of that one. You know, it's not going to taste really good stir fried, but it makes good zucchini bread. So it's just a matter of, you know, looking at the plants and teaching them and helping them to know when they're ripe, and then showing them how to carefully pick it off.
So would you encourage at fair time, would you encourage any of these parents and grandparents to have their kids or grandkids enter in fair?
Absolutely. If you are growing something in a plot of land, you know, in the ground, plant some pumpkins, plant the big varieties, and let it go and see if you can get one large enough to take to your local fair. The same with zucchinis. They can get enormous.
when the prize for the heaviest or the largest zucchini.
And you know, if you're really an ambitious parent, go to the child's preschool, kindergarten class and say, I'd like to get a group of kids to do this in their homes, and we'll have our own contest. There are all sorts of things you can do to motivate the children.
That's a great idea. I like that. Wow. Maybe even in the neighborhood.
Sure.
Wow.
I know there are a number of schools now that plant pollinator gardens. They're planting plants, flowers that specifically attract butterflies. And they've done it as young as preschoolers. And the kids get very excited about that, because you not only have pretty flowers, but you then have butterflies that come to visit them.
Yes, yes. And that's a good lesson. So to round out the end of the season, besides harvesting, cleaning up the garden.
Absolutely. You know, teach your children, grandchildren, from a young age that the project is not done until it's done. And that means putting your garden to bed. So after the harvest, you can pull those plants, dispose of them properly in a compost pile or in the trash. If they have powdery mildew during the summer or other diseases, throw them out. Don't compost them. And you could even put in some good compost into your containers or the ground to prepare for next summer. And clean up your tools. It's very important to have clean tools. And teach them, you know, good practices for gardening.
Well, that's like taking it full circle, you know.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Beginning, middle, and end.
And, yes. And again, I find that a duty chart is so important. And kids from preschool age on are used to charts. They do it in preschool for tasks. They do it in grade school for assignments, for daily tasks. Have one for the garden and include from beginning to end the whole cycle of the garden.
Wow. Are there places where they could get a chart that's made up, or what would you recommend?
I recommend making your own, because it's going to vary by the child's interest and age. And it's very simple. You can do it on the computer in an Excel program or a similar program, or do it by hand. Involve the child. If you have gardening magazines, let the children cut out pictures and decorate the chart. And start with planning. You know, what are we going to do? What kind of a garden do we want? Do we want container? Do we want in ground? Where are we going to get the seeds and the plants? when are we going to put them in the ground? And don't put in the transplants until we've had our last frost. Seeds, you can look at the back of the seed package and determine when those should be planted. Then care during the summer, water, fertilizer if needed, look for insects, watch for sun scald, just the common things that the adults will know about, but just watch the plant. Look for ripe vegetables if you're doing that. If you're doing flowers, once the flower has bloomed, you want to deadhead it so more flowers come along. Then harvest. What are we going to do with the harvest? Cook? Are we going to dry or can things? And then clean up. And again, that chart would vary by how old the child is.
Sure. Yes. Wow. And then, of course, you talk about praising and rewarding them all season long, which I think is important.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. You keep their interest by praising them and by doing some little rewards. The reward can be as simple as we're going to pick a little bit of lettuce and you're going to toss the salad for dinner. And we'll tell the family that this is your salad that you grew and you made. So just kids do just beautifully with a lot of praise.
I think adults do too.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, beyond just the growing and the fairy gardens, do you have some suggestions for craft projects or centerpieces that you could encourage the child to do?
Well, one thing that my kids used to like to grow were gourds. And then you've got the gourds and the little, you can do the little tiny pumpkins and you can make pretty centerpieces for Thanksgiving. During the summer, you can pick the flowers and put them in mason jars for centerpieces. Another fun project that I used to like to do with my grandkids is just take little bottles and they can paint them and they make their own vase and then they can put the flowers in that little vase. Oh my gosh, there's so many craft projects. You can go online and Google crafts for vegetables and you'll come up with all sorts of things. There are also wonderful things that you can make. Like you can make a turkey with skewers and a pineapple, and you can put different vegetables on the skewers for the, you know, for the big tail feathers. Right off the top of my head, I can't think of all the things we've done. It doesn't have to be elaborate. You can just do simple vases of flowers if they're growing flowers. By the way, the herbs have pretty flowers like chives, lavender. You can take some rosemary, put the flowers around it.
Right.
There are just 1,000 different things you can do.
Yeah.
You can grow different kinds of plants for gifts. I can take a small container, maybe an 8-inch, and you can put in one little mint plant and one little lavender plant. And then you can buy a little tea ball that you put loose tea leaves in and put that on a stick and put a little sign, my teapot, because you can make tea out of the mint and the lavender, and you can give that as a gift. You just need to be creative. Look online. Pinterest has a lot of ideas for crafts. There's just 1,000 different things you can do. And then I love to teach the kids how to preserve what they grow to make gifts for later in the winter.
Well, and if you do herbs in the garden, they could certainly make an herb bouquet, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. You can make potpourri out of the lavender. All the dry herbs, you can pack them into little bags and give them as gifts. There are just 1,000 different things you can do.
That's a reward in itself for these kids, you know?
Yes. Yes, just a lot of fun. You can also search the Denver Gardeners.wordpress, our blog, and there are ideas on that for preserving vegetables and herbs.
Well, thanks for that. Thanks for that tip.
You have to research back through the archives.
Good information.
The zucchini breads, you can do zucchini bread, you can do zucchini muffins. The breads freeze beautifully, and you can make your breads in September when you finish your harvesting and freeze them, and again, holiday gifts. And then the kids can wrap them up and put pretty bows on them. You could probably do the same with freezing the snow peas, green beans. Oh my gosh, there are just endless things that you can do with the garden.
And the kids can help, like you said, with the cooking and the whole process.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This has been very informative. Is there anything else you want to add?
Just quickly looking at my notes. I think taking the photographs is the most fun part because they can look back on their efforts. Rewarding the children.
Well, you know, the photograph in itself could be a Christmas photograph.
Yes, it could be.
On a card. Yeah.
My gosh, they could dry flowers. That's so easy. You just pick the little flowers, put them in a heavy book between wax paper, and then you can use that to decorate Christmas cards or thank you notes, or greeting cards of all types. Yeah, there is just an endless world of craft ideas out there.
So for a parent or a grandparent who's a little bit hesitant, what advice would you give them?
Start small.
Okay. All right.
Don't try to garden 140 feet. A 2x2, 2 foot by 2 foot, either raised bed or area in the ground or a whiskey barrel is about as large as I would go with a young child. And the 2x2 foot, that's all I would do with even an older one who's never gardened. Start small, be realistic. And in a 2x2 area, you can grow a row of green beans, you can grow a row of cucumbers, because they'll trail over a raised bed. You can put in a tomato plant. If you're planting in the ground, you need to space a little bit more than you do in a container. But in a container, you can put tons of things. If you get a whiskey barrel, you could probably grow 8 different kinds of herbs in it.
Wow.
And most herbs you start in Colorado from little plants that you would buy at a greenhouse, because we don't have a long growing season here. And be realistic about your planting. Don't put out transplants too early in the spring, because we have late frosts and all your work would be for naught. And watch for predictions of hail, because if it's going to be a hailstorm, you want to cover those containers. And again, with children, it's much easier to do that with a container than it is with an in-ground garden. So you're just a little bit safer starting with a container.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
The other thing is, if you're doing a small container and you're doing grandchildren, they can take it home and bring it back. They can go back and forth with their little container.
That's a good idea, you know? Yeah.
And the wheelbarrow I like too, because if there's a prediction of hail, you just wheel that under your patio, you know, if you have a covered patio. So, you know, think of all those possibilities and start small. You know, get them interested, and then they'll want to do more next year.
Well, let's hope so. Let's hope so.
Yes.
Well, thank you for joining me today.
Well, thank you for asking me. This was fun.
Glad you enjoyed it.
And I'd love to hear feedback from the listeners to see if anyone does this and if they have success with it.
Okay. So they should contact Denver County then.
They could do that, or I guess they could contact you and you could forward it.
Okay. I'll be happy to.
Very good.
Thank you to the audience for listening, and tune in next time when we get to the heart of the matter on another horticultural topic.